नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 4 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द हंस गुया प्रेयर्स टेक्स्ट नंबर 34 एंड विल बी रीडिंग पार्ट 1 ऑफ द पर्पोर्ट। यह प्राकृतेर्ज्ञानपतेर्जनानां यता स्वयं देहगतो विभाति यता नीलपार्थिवमाश्रितो गुणम् स ईश्वरो मे कुरुतां मनोरथम्। He appears as the demigods and not in his original form. What is the use of these other forms? May the original Supreme Personality of Godhead please fulfill my desires. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The impersonalists imagine the various demigods to be form of the Lord. For example, the Mayavadis worship 5 demigods, Panchopasana. They do not actually believe in the form of the Lord, but for the sake of worship, they imagine some form to be God. Generally, they imagine a form of Vishnu, a form of Shiva, and a form of Ganesh, the sun god and Durga. This is called Panchopasana. Daksha, however, wanted to worship not an imaginary form, but the supreme form of Lord Krishna. In this regard, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes the difference between the supreme personality of Godhead and an ordinary living being. As pointed out in a previous verse, Sarvam Puman Veda Gunamscha Tagyo Naveda Sarvagyam Anantamide. The omnipotent Supreme Lord knows everything, but the living being does not actually know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I know everything, but no one knows me. This is the difference between the Supreme Lord and an ordinary living being. In a prayer in Srimad Bhagavatam, Queen Kunti says, My dear Lord, You exist inside and outside, yet no one can see you. The conditioned soul cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by speculative knowledge or by imagination. One must therefore know the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He reveals himself, but he cannot be understood by speculation. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 14th chapter, text number 29, अथापि ते देव पदाम्बुजद्वया प्रसाद लेशानुगृहीत एव हि जानाति तत्त्वं भगवन् महिम्नो न चान्य एकोऽपि चिरं विचिन्वन्। माय लॉर्ड, इफ वन इज फेवर्ड बाय इवन अ स्लाइट ट्रेस ऑफ योर मर्सी ऑफ योर लोटस फीट, ही कैन अंडरस्टैंड द ग्रेटनेस ऑफ योर पर्सनालिटी। बट दोज हू स्पेक्युलेट टू अंडरस्टैंड द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडेड आर अनेबल टू नो यू, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. This is the verdict of the Shastra. An ordinary man may be a great philosopher and may speculate upon what the absolute truth is, what his form is and where he is existing, but he cannot understand these truths. Sevon mukhei jivado svayam eva sphurateda. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead only through devotional service. This is also explained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself in Bhagavad Gita 18.55. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yava nishchashmi tattvata. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is only by devotional service. Unintelligent person want to imagine or concoct a form of the Supreme Lord, but devotees want to worship the actual personality of Godhead. Therefore, Daksha is praying, one may think of you as personal, impersonal or imaginary, but I wish to pray to your lordship that you fulfill my desire to see you as you actually are. Hare Krishna. One of senior disciples of His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj is His Grace Vishwambar Prabhu from Bhaktivedanta Manor, London. He's staying there. He was once narrating a very interesting pastime, that one time He had a lot of problems in his spiritual life and material life. He was not getting things done the way he wanted. He was failing. His health was failing. So he went to his Guru Maharaj and told Tamalakrishna Maharaj, "Maharaj, I'm very angry with Krishna. Why has Krishna done this to me? I'm very angry." And Maharaj smiled and said, "Good, you are now advancing in spiritual life." So he said, "But Maharaj, I'm angry with Krishna. So how can you say that I'm advancing?" So Maharaj said, "You are advancing because even though you are angry with Krishna, at least first time in your life, you are accepting that Krishna is a person. Till now you never accepted him as a person." So this is a very important point, that is, accepting Krishna as a person is the beginning of accessing his unlimited mercy, which is more than willing to inundate our hearts with. Because Krishna is more merciful, what to speak of devotees, he is even merciful to demons. Yesterday, Premnidhi Prabhu very beautifully explained how Krishna gives his mercy even to the demons. Tateva chanye naraloka veera yadahave krishna mukharavindam netre pibanto nayanabhiramam parthastraputa padamapurasya. Uddhava, in great separation from Krishna, is recollecting how that these great soldiers who had come to fight against the Pandavas, they were dying, but yadahave krishna mukharavindam, as they were dying, they saw Krishna's lotus face, and from their eyes they were drinking the nectar of Krishna's beauty. Netrai pibanto nayanabhiramam. And first they were purified by Arjuna's arrows, parthastra puta. First a devotee purified them, and then Krishna padamapurasya, and Krishna took them to the spiritual world. So so this is the key, that Krishna's and devotee's mercy is what will help us to understand the absolute truth. And that is the topic for today's discussion in the purport. And Prabhupada very emphatically says, this is the only way. We cannot know Krishna by any amount of speculation. So one may say, okay, Krishna's mercy is what we need. It's not speculation. But then what happens is, then we start speculating on how to get Krishna's mercy. Is there a formula? When and how will Krishna give me mercy? Burijan Prabhu was telling us in the seminar a few days back that there are three kinds of business: our business, others' business, and Krishna's business. Our problem is, we are interested in others' business and Krishna's business. We are never interested in our business. So if we focus on our business, that is what we have to do to access Krishna's mercy, because Krishna is supremely independent. And out of his own sweet free will, independent of our endeavor, he bestows his mercy. Therefore, what is our business? What is it that we have to do to access this mercy of Krishna? And that is shelter, taking shelter of devotees and Krishna. But instead of that, if we demand, I want to know Krishna by my own endeavors, instead of shelter, then Pantastu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo vayor manaso munipungavanam sopestiyat prapada simna vichinte tatve. If we just speculate, we will not even if we speculate for crores of years, we will not come anywhere even near the toe of Krishna. So therefore, the solution is, we have to take shelter of Krishna. There is no other way to get this mercy. Once Bhavanand Prabhu asked Giriraj Maharaj, "Maharaj, you are so close to Prabhupada, and so many things Prabhupada told you, and you have done so much service, you are so advanced." And then Giriraj Maharaj just raised his hand and said, "I am simply a mercy case, that's all." Just like in ICU, we have somebody is very critically operated. He has all those wires and gadgets connecting his body, and he's lying on the bed. Any of those wires go away, he's gone. I remember after seeing one devotee after his bypass surgery, so many wires. He's completely at the mercy of all this work. So actually, that is the position of a devotee. He is completely held by the mercy of so many factors, so many devotees. So devotee is always conscious that he has to take shelter of Krishna. Therefore, today, briefly, we'll try to discuss four topics. That can we avoid shelter in this world? especially of Krishna, can we avoid taking shelter? Secondly, what are the consequences of avoiding taking shelter of Krishna? And thirdly, what are the consequences of taking shelter of Krishna? And finally, if time permits, how to take shelter? Of course, after Burujan Prabhu's seminar, which was filled with the essence of Sharanagati, I am feeling a little ashamed to speak on this. Because at best, we can have intellectual conception of shelter. But that is much beyond that. So I beg forgiveness and seek permission from devotees to discuss this. So first, can we avoid taking shelter of Krishna? Yes, we can. Because we have a free will. But we cannot avoid shelter per se. If not God, what will a person do? He will say, I'm independent, I'm self-employed, I can do so much. He'll become the richest man in the world. He will not surrender to anyone. He will not take shelter of anyone. But finally, what he will do? He will keep a dog in his house and whole day he will serve the dog. He will love the dog. He will take the dog for a walk, and when the dog passes stool, he will pick it up, throw it in the dustbin. So if you don't serve God, we have to serve someone in life. That shelter, that service is natural because that is the dharma of the soul. Just like salt is salty, sugar is sweet, and water is liquid. Similarly, the soul by nature has to serve. He has to take shelter. But today people don't want shelter of Krishna, for they take shelter of different things, you know, electronic gadgets, movies, and they sit in front of the TV completely bombarded by visual images, and they become desensitized like a zombie, like a robot. They're just watching. So they have taken shelter of these so many external and extraneous things. And therefore, Lord Krishna says in the fourth chapter of Gita that we can't avoid taking shelter. If we don't take Krishna's shelter, then we'll take shelter of body and mind. Like in the third chapter, which is Karma Yoga, Krishna is telling Arjuna that, my dear Arjuna, mai sarvani karmani sanya sadhyatma chetasa, just surrender all your work to me. You should work in my consciousness. You should know me. So naturally, the logical question that arises is, okay, if you have to offer to Krishna, how do I know who is Krishna? What is Krishna? How to understand Krishna? So the fourth chapter is called as transcendental knowledge, where Krishna gives knowledge about himself so that we can understand. We can know. So in the first 10 verses, Krishna speaks about himself. How I am the Supreme Lord. How I come in different millenniums. How I have given this knowledge to Sun God. And if you know this, Neti Mameti So Arjuna, he will come back to me. But we have to go beyond simply knowing Krishna. We have to come to a state of being absorbed in Krishna and loving Krishna. And this transcendental love for Krishna is available only when we take complete shelter of the Lord. And that's why, as this section continues, Krishna tells Arjuna, Vitaraga Bhaya Krodha Manmayama Mupashrita Bahavo Jnana Tapasa Puta Madbhava Magata. How did great souls get purified? Puta Madbhava. And how did they come back to me? Because Manmaya Madashrita. Because they fixed their mind on me and they took shelter of me. Madashrita. But if we don't do that, we will be taking shelter of Raga, Bhaya and Krodha. Krishna says you have to give up Raga, Bhaya and Krodha and take complete shelter of me. Raga means complete bodily attachment. What will give me enjoyment? We are only focusing on that. In the purport, Prabhupada calls this as main cause of negligence of spiritual life. So we neglect spiritual life because we are attached to bodily enjoyment. Second is Bhaya, because we have fear of personal identity. So we take shelter of our mind and we speculate and we say, no, God is impersonal. No need of taking shelter of any God. And then some people, they see so many contradictions or so many confusing things. So they are the third category. They become so angry, krodha, that they deny the Lord. And they start taking intoxication and they have their own imagination. And all these hallucinations, they call it as some big philosophy. And they give it some stamp. This is my philosophy. So Raga, Bhaya and Krodha, this is very common. Like Westerners, Americans or Russians, or they might say, we are all self-made. We don't take shelter of God. But what do they take shelter of? Few years back in Canada, we saw there was a power failure. What did the people do? They went mad. There was no electricity for a few hours. They didn't know what to do in life. Some people went berserk. They drove madly in the streets. And they started looting shops. Some people contemplated suicide because their favorite TV show is not on now. Just because there was no electricity, they should come to India and spend some time in villages. It's so silly, actually. We might think silly, but they have taken complete shelter of these artificial things because of which they feel life cannot exist without this. This is a sign of bodily attachment. And the worst is hallucinations and talking all strange philosophies. That is a sign that we are not taking shelter of Krishna. Prabhupada would say, Pagale ki na bole, chagale ki na kaye. What will a madman not say and what a goat will not eat? Prabhupada would give this quotation many times to say, a goat will eat anything. Similarly, madman will say anything. Similarly, our philosophers and scientists, they'll keep saying anything and everything in the name of truth. For these kind of hallucinations is all a reflection of raga, bhaya and krodha, attachment to body and fear of spiritual life and anger. And in that purpose, Srila Prabhupada writes, how we can get out of all this artificial shelter and take shelter of Krishna? We have to do three things. He says we have to take complete shelter of Lord. Secondly, under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. And thirdly, we have to follow discipline and regulative principles. If we do this, then we can advance. Or some people might take shelter of Krishna externally, but inside we might have not ahetuki apratiyata, we might have other desires. So Krishna says in the next verse of this fourth chapter, for such people, e atamam prapadyante tam tadeva bhajamya. As you come to me, I'll reward you. So we miss the bus if we don't have desire for complete shelter of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada was going from Chennai to Nellore, and one few gentlemen came, we want to see Swamiji, we want to see Swamiji. So Prabhupada allowed them. And they said, Swamiji, give ashirvad, give blessing. And Prabhupada said, what blessing you want? They were taken aback because they never expected from Prabhupada. They'll ask them, what blessing you want? Immediately this person said, I have arthritis, so my leg pain is there, so please help me. And Prabhupada and all the devotees looked at him so disgustingly. Then these people realized that what a silly thing to ask. So immediately said, no, actually my grandmother is not well, so you should please bless her. Then they asked for different things. And then finally he said, actually, you know, we want the whole world to be blessed also. They said many incoherent things. Prabhupada said, if I bless you, you will all become like them. He pointed to his disciples who were shaven headed and in dhoti kurta. Immediately said, no, Swamiji, we are grihasthas, we have family life, we can't. And they excused themselves and they ran away. And as soon as they left, everybody laughed. And Prabhupada said, this is a problem. In India, people take shelter of Ashirwad Babas, who will only give Ashirwad. Basically, Prabhupada said, basically they want an alternative for doctor. They don't want to pay doctor's bill for they go to Baba. So people take shelter. Shelter is natural. But we can't avoid. But instead of Krishna, we take shelter of other things. So the second question that arises is, okay, we avoid Krishna's shelter. What is the consequences? What will happen? In simple words, we become demons. Srila Prabhupada defines a demon as one who works hard without benefit for himself also. Of course, he destroys the world also, but like today, the world is facing threat not from the farmers in Andhra Pradesh or Punjab. The world is facing threat from the NASA scientists or some great brainy nuclear scientist. They are the ones who are actually terror because their intelligence is so strong and this can cause havoc. So eventually we become demons and we become frustrated. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings in that famous bhajan, Jada vidya jato mayara vaibhava tomara bhajane badha. Moha janamiya anitya samsare jiboke karaye gadha. Very nice verse, he says. Jada, all this intelligence and the shelter of mundane education that I have taken, what it has done to me, it is all Maya's vaibhav. It is the opulence of Maya. And it is a big impediment for tumara bhajan. Tumara bhajan badha. And the worst thing is, moha janmiya. It is increasing my infatuation for this world. Anitya samsari, this temporary world. And Jiva ke, Jiva is eternal, but karaye gadha, he becomes an ass, carrying huge loads of self-created burden. Se gada hoye samsarera bhoja bainu aneka kala. And I am one such ass, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in utter humility is praying, and I am carrying this burden of material existence for millions of lifetimes. And now I become old, bardha ke hekana shaktira abave kichunai lage bhala. Now I am so weak, my senses are not supporting me, so nothing is helping me. I am getting frustrated. So this is the connection Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives, that if we don't take shelter of Krishna, we become infatuated with the material world, with what it has to offer us. And then second thing that happens is, we become frustrated because of that infatuation. I think a couple of weeks back, one devotee mailed me one very interesting report by World Health Organization on how people are frustrated. And they took suicide statistics, the latest. And the number one country in terms of suicide is Russia and Lithuania, which are opposing Krishna consciousness in such a big way. And Japan, Germany, US, Canada, France, Switzerland, Australia, New Zealand, they're all ahead of India in suicide. India is ranked 45th. So the point is, they're all countries which have moha janmiya, they are, there is intense infatuation for material enjoyment, but at the same time, also frustration. And therefore, we see that people can never be happy if they don't take shelter of Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada was in Melbourne in 1974, he installed Gaurnitya deities and named it as Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir. And next year when he came, he saw that the deity worship is top class, devotees are very nicely dressing the deities, so he, in the inaugural lecture, what he said was so striking. He is saying, see the deities, they are so beautiful. You have gorgeously dressed them. And remember, if you don't dress the deities and only dress yourself, then Maya will gradually undress you. She will take away all your dress and we'll all become hippies and therefore we'll become frustrated and crazy. So better dress Krishna, better make Krishna at the center. This was Srila Prabhupada's instruction to all devotees that the consequences of not taking shelter of Krishna is we become hippies or we become frustrated. Of course, we see some people, they say, we're not frustrated. We are following this guru. We are happy. We are doing meditation. They give so many theories. Now these people might externally not be frustrated, but deep within, their deep core of their existence is not touched. Actually, harava bhaktasya kuto mahat guna manuratena sati davato bhai. They are running on the chariot of their mind and they are simply speculating. So basically what is happening to such people is, they are subtle level, they are enjoying. They are thinking that, you know, I know everything, and they give different kinds of theories because they are not surrendering to Krishna. But such people, even though they are in their own world, they are flying their own plane, but because they are proud, they don't get Krishna. Madha Puman Janmeshwara Shruta Shripir. But Krishna is Tvam Akinchana Gochara. Krishna is the property of the material impoverished who desperately takes shelter of Krishna. So externally, these philosophers and Mayavadis, they might appear very attractive, but they go far, far away from Krishna. And eventually, material nature strips them away of all positions, of all their skills. One time when Srila Prabhupada on a morning walk, he saw one man had a lot of, it's a poultry farm, he had a lot of chicken and cocks. And morning he opened the cage, they all came out and they started shouting loudly. The chicken was flapping its wings, jumping. So Prabhupada said, see, this is the condition of living entity. He's thinking he's great, he's special, he's giving big, big philosophy. And night time, what will happen to this cock? The owner will pick up and put it in the cage. And that time the cock will say, no, 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 please excuse me, please excuse me. He will be very humble. So Prabhupada said, this is the situation of the karmis. Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha na vidur asura. The asura, they don't know what is good, what is bad. They simply keep speaking. But mrityu sarva harascham. But Krishna comes as death. Because they're not taken shelter of Krishna, he takes away everything. And then he quoted this famous verse. Prabhupada said, Krishna naam korovai harasabha miche. palaiba patanai yama ache piche. That please take shelter of Krishna, my dear devotees. Everything else is temporary. If you take shelter of something else, Krishna nama karo vai arasabha miche palaiba patanai. If you start running behind some speculative theories and some ordinary things, you cannot escape, because palaiba patanai yama ache piche. Yamaraj will be running behind you and catching you. So therefore, the consequences of not taking shelter of Krishna is disastrous. We get infatuated to the material world, and thus we get frustrated. Then, what is the consequences of accepting Krishna's shelter? It is the same consequence as that of a child who is lost in the market, and people are coming and is crying. People are coming and giving him toys. Somebody is giving him mobile, lollipop. He's accepting all that, but he doesn't stop crying. A foolish person will say, such a fortunate child, yes, so many things. But an intelligent person knows he's crying, he's not happy. And when the parent comes, he grabs the parent and is happy. Then an intelligent person will say, now the child is very fortunate. So this is what Prabhupada writes in Kunti Devi's prayer section, that when we take shelter of Krishna, this is the first thing that happens. We become most fortunate. Apyadyanastvam swakrite hita prabho jihasasi sve suhurdo nujivina esham na chanyat bhavata padam bojat parayanam rajasuyojitam hasam. Kunti Devi is saying that Krishna, how can you leave us now? Because now we are completely dependent on you. Jihasasi sve suhurdo nujivina, you are our life and soul. Esham na chanyat bhavata padam bojat, we know nothing other than your lotus feet, so you cannot leave us now. This is very ironical, because generally we take shelter of Krishna when we don't have something or we are miserable, and when we get something, we don't take shelter of Krishna so intensely. So Kunti Devi, she whole life she has suffered, and now she has got the kingdom, so she is happy. So logically she should not be so disturbed. But now her dependence on Krishna is more than even before. This is very interesting, and Prabhupada writes such an amazing purport. I thought I'll just read it as it is. In material world, to be dependent on somebody else and to be take shelter of someone else is considered to be a utmost sign of misfortune. But Prabhupada writes, in the case of our transcendental relation with the Lord, it is the most fortunate case when we can live completely dependent on Him. The material disease which we have is due to thinking of becoming independent of everything. But cruel material nature doesn't allow. This false attempt at independence is known as material advancement. Very nice purport. And then Prabhupada elaborates on how when we take shelter of Krishna, we actually become sanat. Otherwise, we are anath. One devotee joined the temple, and his father was discussing with him. And that time, that is, LNHO board was very big here down. Lady Northcote, Hindu orphanage. So this man saw that and told this devotee, Brahmachari, that, yes, now you have become orphan. You have left the family. But little did they realize that actually this devotee is taking shelter of Krishna. So he is not anath anymore. He is actually sanath. That's what Prabhupada writes. That we have to become sanath. So when we depend completely on Krishna, we become sanath. So therefore, this is a very interesting purport. So therefore, devotees who fail to take shelter of Krishna and who are simply executing devotional service as a ritual, Brijan Prabhu was telling recently that they have a tendency, every one of us has a tendency to be a loner, not to be, I want to be on my own, nobody should tell me anything, a closed door syndrome, no feedback, nobody should tell me anything, I'm okay. In a kind of self-created setup, ideas. Therefore, one has to take shelter of Krishna, because then we become most fortunate. And the second thing that happens is, a devotee who takes shelter of Krishna, he doesn't become bewildered by Maya. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, in one article called Fall Down from Spiritual Life, it came in, I think, BTG a long time back. So there he analyzes very nicely that when we don't take shelter of Krishna, because we are not experiencing reciprocation with Krishna now. Everything is dry. So we desperately want some rasa, some juice in life. So that rasa we try to experience by some external material things. So therefore, then possession and position become more important. So a devotee might endeavor to get some gadgets, some possession, or some upadis. Although bhakti is sarvapadi vinir muktam, we are supposed to be free from upadis, but a devotee might then get trapped by the desire to get upadis, position and power. And because an advancement is identified with these external things. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur calls this, that when we are not nishchita in our bhajana kriya, when we are not focused and intense, then different things happen, bad things, wrong things. And one of them, the last thing, is this taranga rangini. We become caught up in our own world of praise, appreciation, glory, and we are riding those waves and forgetting the essence that we have to take shelter of Krishna. And thus we get trapped by Maya. And then he was writing that potentially we can have a community of devotees, but each one, because as object of shelter other than Krishna, each one in that community is interacting with each other on a superficial level. Because the platform is crumbling and it is tottering platform. And symptom of such a society is when devotees, they come together, but when Krishna Katha is discussed, people feel, no, come on, don't be so artificial. And when mundane prajalpa is discussed, immediately we feel, oh yeah, this is natural. He's a natural devotee. So therefore, especially for devotees who have position of leadership, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj was saying that when we take shelter of position, something other than Krishna, then we exploit devotees and we manipulate them. But when we take shelter of Krishna rather than position, then we don't manipulate devotees, we don't exploit them, but we serve them and also facilitate their taking shelter of Krishna. For thus, such a devotee becomes an asset, not a liability to the movement. Therefore, this is the consequences of accepting shelter of Krishna. That is, we will not be bewildered by Maya, we will not be carried away, and we also become most fortunate. And lastly, we can also discuss briefly how to take shelter, because this is the practical question which most devotees have in their minds. Rupa Goswami says devotional service. That is the main way we take shelter of Krishna. And in devotional service, the second chapter of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where Rupa Goswami talks about the first stages of devotion, he talks about sadhana bhakti. And there he mentions that who is qualified to practice devotional service? You can practice devotional service if you have some attraction for devotional service. Somebody might say, but how will I get this attraction? Rupa Goswami says, this attraction comes from previous devotional service. So you might say, okay, but previous devotional service, how will I practice? You need attraction to Krishna. It becomes a circular reasoning. For devotional service, you need attraction, taste. But that taste comes from previous devotional service. So therefore, the third point Rupa Goswami says is most important. He says, what we therefore need is causeless mercy, nothing else. And the fourth point he writes, logic and argument have no place. Only causeless mercy. And then, so somebody might think, okay, sadhana bhakti, we got some mercy, now we have got devotional service, let me start. And sadhana bhakti is defined as systematic practice of devotional service through mind and senses, practice in a certain way. But it's very important to understand that devotional service is not simply practice. Like mechanically we practice, you know. I get up in the morning, chant my rounds, this. Yes, done. So I'm practicing, so I'll become pure devotee. No. Rupa Goswami explains, Prabhupada and different devotees have written commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. They explain very nicely that what actually happens is when we start the practice, the heart gets purified. And as the purification takes place, slowly a genuine longing for Krishna arises. But a devotee at that time has a choice. Either he nurtures this longing or he rejects it. But when we nurture this longing and execute our devotional service with a longing for devotional service, with a hankering for more service, then that nurturing leads us to bhava. That is what leads us to love for Krishna. So basically the point he is making is that sadhana is more than practice. Practice means generally we don't have something, so I practice and I get it. But sadhana bhakti is actually we are trying to evoke bhava, which is already there in the heart. Therefore, devotees want to make tangible advancement in their spiritual life. They cannot allow sadhana bhakti to be some mechanical affair. And they cannot allow it to be devoid of spiritual aspiration and yearning for service. And therefore, Rupa Goswami says, the essence of sadhana bhakti is what? Mana Krishna Nivesha. Somehow fix the mind on Krishna. Somehow, that is the key. That is the essence, he says. So fixing the mind on Krishna is the first point in how to take shelter of Krishna. I remember when we were doing book distribution a few years back, some days we would do 70, 80, 100 books and books would be literally flying and we would be so happy, everybody would be appreciating and we were happy that Prabhupada's books were going. And some days, despite hours of struggle, only 7, 8 or 10 books would go and it would be like frustrating. But I realized, and other devotees also agreed with me, that when we come back home, temple, in the night, we feel a certain kind of satisfaction. Because what happens is when person is not taking the book, we become desperate. And devotees have this experience. They're praying, Krishna, let him take the book, as he's looking at the book. Because no books have gone so far. And we are of course, it is fruitive in one sense, because we want score. It is not pure devotional service, but still, that dependence on Krishna, mind is focused on Krishna for that period. Krishna, let him take. And then he sees and he gives it back. And then, oh, Krishna is not taken. Okay, this person. Now, I've not got any books. Krishna, let him take. So you become so Krishna conscious and it's so nice. Although externally, there is no success. Therefore, I remember when Sto Krishna Prabhu, just 2 days before he left this world, Radhanath Maharaj, he was beaming. He was so ecstatic. And Radhanath Maharaj said, you are the happiest man in the whole city of Mumbai. Because his mind was so fixed in Krishna. That is the essence of sadhana bhakti, not simply a ritual. But fix the mind on Krishna. Mana Krishna Niveshayat. And therefore then he gives a division, Vedi sadhana bhakti and Raganuga sadhana bhakti. Raganuga is when we practice devotional service with rules and regulations, but the inspiration is attraction to Krishna. We are naturally attracted. But Vedi sadhana bhakti is, we are not attracted to Krishna, but we'll practice because scriptures say, my Guru Maharaj has ordered me. And then, with that order, when we practice, even though we may not like many things, but at the same time, he says, the essence of Vedi Sadhana Bhakti is always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So that essence, Rupa Goswami always gives. So therefore, this remembrance of Krishna is the key factor. And this remembrance is facilitated, it is possible when devotees stretch themselves. As Shishastakam Prabhu always says, we should not be in comfort zone. We like to be in comfort zone. And I have my own small, nice things going on. We have to take a leap from the comfort zone to the courage zone. We have to stretch a little. Because only when we stretch, we can experience dependence on Krishna. Like we have this yoga teacher who comes and then our devotees do yoga. All of them have this experience that when we are doing yoga, you cannot be a smartha yogi. You know, you cannot be just doing it as a ritual. For yoga to give best benefit for the health, one has to do two things. Both are most important. One is, one has to keep stretching slowly but surely. The stretching has to be there. You can't just be touching and doing it as a ritual. But if you keep stretching, then we'll get exhausted and we'll collapse. So the teacher always says, the facilitator, as we are doing the stretching, please inhale, don't stop breathing. Inhale, exhale, slowly. Continue breathing. That is the key. That is the essence. Because then when our breath is normal, and then when we are doing yoga, then that yoga energizes us. Otherwise, that will increase our fatigue more. Similarly, Krishna consciousness, we know, is the topmost yoga system. There also these two key things appear. One is we have to stretch ourselves, we have to do a little extra in devotion. So it's nice to have a regulated lifestyle, getting up, do this, that is nice. But within that, we have to somehow work to stretch a little. And while stretching, that breathing and that relaxing is compared to remembering Krishna and depending on Krishna. So as we depend on Krishna, take shelter of Krishna, and also stretch ourselves little by little, then that helps us grow spiritually. That gives us spiritual health, which is very, very vibrant. So therefore, this is the key, that we remember and depend on Krishna. Secondly, we stretch ourselves. And thirdly, we follow instructions of devotees or spiritual master and work under their authority. That is very important. One time, Bali Mardhan Prabhu and Shyam Sundar Prabhu wanted to invest money in gold, gambling. And they saw the price rising and they told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, this will be very good. Prabhupada said, nonsense. So they said, no, Prabhupada, but we'll get good money out of this. Prabhupada said, this is speculation. This is gambling. And they gave a very confident, they were very confident of its success. So they gave a nice presentation to Srila Prabhupada. Oh, it is very successful and all devotees were hearing. And after they finished, Prabhupada became more angry. But Prabhupada said that if you keep speaking like this and if you keep talking like this and giving justification, how can I ever correct you? And how can I ever teach you? So then they understood and they gave it up and they took shelter of Prabhupada. So this pastime was narrated to explain how we have to take shelter of devotees' instructions. We cannot be just doing our own things. That is the third point. And then we think, okay, I am doing what devotees are saying. That doesn't mean we don't have to think and we don't have to do our services properly. Because one time, one devotee, Alarnath Das from Germany, he told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, there are no devotees, there is no authority for me. I am living in a remote place. What should I do? Prabhupada said, then sincerely do bhakti. Krishna will give you intelligence. Dadami buddhi yogam. Then he said, okay, if Krishna will give intelligence, that means Krishna will remove away all my independent desires and speculative ideas. Prabhupada shouted. He said, no, that speculation you have to remove. That Krishna will not remove. So, it's not that simply externally we take. That is the point that Prabhupada is making. It's not simply an external act. And in fact, Prabhupada was so cautious. One devotee in Nairobi, some gundas attacked the temple and there was a big fight and this devotee actually lost his arm and leg in the fight. And he wrote a letter to Prabhupada saying that Prabhupada, and he was so humble, he condemned himself and he was so grateful to Prabhupada. He didn't say that what Krishna has done to me. He said, Prabhupada, I am a wretched servant, I am a fallen soul, I have no taste for Krishna and these incidents happened with me. I deserve worse. And now Prabhupada, I have a request. Can I go to Vrindavan and stay and just do bhajan? Because in one sense, I'm useless. I can't do any service. Prabhupada was touched by his letter. But at the same time, because for this devotee, Mahavirya Prabhu, there was an authority like Prabhupada. Prabhupada cautioned him. Prabhupada didn't get carried away by the sentiments. Prabhupada said, it's very nice. I'm grateful to you. But don't do this. Don't just leave everything and go to Vrindavan. You're not ready for it. Just do seva, whatever you can. Chant. Be an association of devotees. So, this shelter of devotees is a very significant point. Along with our fixing the mind on Krishna and following authorities and extending ourselves in devotional service. Even Srila Prabhupada took shelter of his own disciples. In Vrindavan, during his last days, one day he called all his disciples into the room and Shyam Sundar Prabhu, Satswarup Maharaj, they were all massaging Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was looking at them and Prabhupada said, I am completely dependent on all of you. You are all Vaishnavas and by seeing you, I get a lot of spiritual strength. So please, all of you, be merciful to me. Prabhupada is telling his disciples. That is the mood that devotees have taught us. Therefore, to conclude, how to take shelter? To fix our mind on Krishna, take instructions of Guru, shelter of Vaishnavas. And lastly, which is very key, that is hearing and chanting has to go on. Radha Gopana Prabhu was telling us in one recent Bhagavatam class that the tree might grow bigger and bigger, but if the roots are not expanding below, then a wind will wipe off the tree. So the roots, and root nobody can see. So hearing and chanting is a personal affair. And he said, spiritual life is a long journey, everybody says. But it is a long journey inwards. It is not in some acquiring some external thing. Otherwise, if you don't acquire this taste, then notpadaya tadiratim, shama evai kevalam, it is simply a waste. And our life is a tragedy without shelter of Krishna. And the best examples of this, I'll just take 2 minutes more, is Kasheshwar Pandit and Bhugarbha Goswami, whose disappearance day is today. And we see in their life also, that is exemplified. Kasheshwar Pandit is a godbrother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He is disciple of Ishwarapuri, but because Ishwarapuri ordered him, he served Chaitanya Mahaprabhu along with Govinda. And his main service would be, when Mahaprabhu would go, he was a big, well-built person. He would stop the crowd from disturbing Mahaprabhu. And after the kirtan, he would be organizing prasadam serving, and he would be in charge of that service. He is Shashi Rekha in the spiritual world, service of carrying Yamuna water for Krishna every day. So, very special devotee, Kasheshwar Pandit Prabhu. And one of our acharyas, Bhugarbha Goswami, he is also disappearance days today. Bhugarbha Goswami was disciple of Gadadhar Pandit, and he was one of the earliest devotees to take shelter of Vrindavan. He and Loknath Goswami were very intimate friends, and they came to Vrindavan. And they are the ones who searched all the 12 forests of Vrindavan. And their searching was different than the modern archaeologists. They dig, very aggressive modern people. But they were folding their hands and they would be running in Vrindavan, crying out the names of different forests. Mahavan, Bandiravan, Kadiravan. And then Vrindadevi, she was very pleased with them and she revealed all the 12 forests to them. And Bhugarbha Goswami would do meditation underground because he didn't want to be materially distracted. That is why his name is Bhu, means earth. Garbha means a hidden cave. So Bhugarbha Goswami. Bhugarbha Goswami, Loknath Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, they are the ones who told Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that we will give you blessing to write Chaitanya Charitamrita on the condition that you don't write our name. You don't mention our name in the book. So they were very humble. They didn't want any name, fame. So these are our acharyas. So just before concluding, today morning we briefly discussed on shelter of Krishna, how only hope is not speculation, but mercy. That mercy comes when we take shelter of Krishna. And then we discussed 4 questions. Can we avoid taking shelter? The answer is no. We have to take shelter. If not Krishna, then body and mind. Raga, Bhaya and Krodha. Then second question we answered is, what are the consequences of avoiding? We discussed that the consequence, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, we become infatuated to material world. And secondly, as a result of that, we get frustrated. And then third question we answered is, what are the consequences of accepting shelter? And that is, we become most fortunate because we don't get bewildered by Maya. And lastly, how to take shelter? Through fixing the mind on Krishna under the instructions of spiritual master in the shelter of devotees and with the culture of hearing and chanting. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Since we are very late,